This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Where will the Browns go at 2? Will there be a trade down? Will there be a should drop? We're about to ask our next guest here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline of A to Z Sports, the great Ryan Roberts. What's up, Ryan? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
I mean, I just housed some wings, and it's like 70 and sunny here in Cleveland. I couldn't possibly be doing any better.
I love to hear it, man. One of my buddies is a Browns fan, and he said that it was a bright, nice, shiny day, and Travis Hunter's on the horizon, apparently, right? So it sounds like it's a pretty good day in Cleveland right now.
All right, so you mentioned Travis Hunter there. If the three options
yep.
are Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or a trade down, how would you rank those three options for the Browns today at 2?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are a team that right now I think they need to add elite options, obviously, on the roster. It was a roster 2 years ago that we saw in the playoffs, but I really think that injury obviously had a huge factor in just kind of on the downtrot and the reason that they're picking number 2. But I'm a big fan of picking elite prospects in this class because there's not a ton of them, right? Like, it's a really kind of shallow class up top. So, for me, it would go Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, then trade back in that order. I personally do have Abdul as my number one player, but I understand why Cleveland wants Travis, ultimately, because you were the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL last year. You have a massive need at wide receiver outside of Jerry Jeudy, so I definitely understand the ideology. And also, at some point, I'm sure Travis will be getting some reps on the defensive side of the football also. So he helps in a couple different areas, fully understand it. I personally love the idea of putting Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett. Like, that is, for me, just thinking about like an opposing quarterback, that is a scary, scary sight. So I prefer Abdul slightly, but I fully accept Travis Hunter at the pick of number 2 because I do think it fits a huge need on the roster, obviously.
Ryan, we had two guests this week, Dan Orlovsky and Cynthia Freeland, both say Hall of Fame with attached to Travis Hunter. So I feel like, has the conversation, have we just gone overboard maybe in the past 72 hours? Or does he really live up to those type of expectations in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame is so tough because obviously like a lot of situation is important, fit is important, longevity. I mean, like, I can't predict how long Travis Hunter's going to be in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, after the first few years, it looked like Todd Gurley was probably going to be a Hall of Famer, and then ultimately, you play a violent game and things happen. So I don't like personally going that far, but I will say he's the rarest football player I've ever seen in the sense of I've never scouted a player that could legitimately play two different positions, one on each side of the ball, and play on and be a top 10 NFL draft pick at either, right? So he's an elite talent. He's a rare player, and we have honestly never seen a player like him. Like, we've seen players that are phenomenal one sport and really good in another. We've seen players that can play on both sides of the ball, like a Champ Bailey probably could have been a wide receiver if he wanted to. A Deion Sanders could have done the same thing to a degree as well. But we've never seen a guy that legitimately could be a 1,000-yard receiver on offense and maybe the best corner in the NFL on the other. So he is rare as can be, one of the rarest athletes of all time. The Hall of Fame conversation is going to be dependent on so many different factors, though.
Ryan, one of the few things that vexes me about the Travis Hunter conversation is this idea that he is a safe pick. Given you could choose the wrong side of the ball, there are other things that go on here. I'm just curious, though. Where are the potential landmines with Travis Hunter that we have to kind of think about?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a wide receiver, if we're playing him like mostly at wide receiver, like exclusive, which it, when Cleveland drafts him, I imagine the ideology would be wide receiver first, then we'll figure out the defensive snaps afterwards if that's something we want to explore. And he is not a perfect wide receiver prospect by any stretch. I mean, I think he's going to be a very good player on both sides of the ball, whatever one he wants to do more of. But he's not the most precise route runner of all time right now, because at Colorado, you have to think about it this way. Like, in practice weeks, he's probably splitting reps between two different spots all the time. It's not like he's focusing on one part of his craft and just being solely that is what he's doing. And so at wide receiver, I think that his route running is still a work in progress. I think he wins a lot more off of athleticism than nuance and technical prowess. So if there was a pitfall, it's that he doesn't able to master the technical side of things, right? And that would be the biggest thing for me. The other side is, if you are intent on him playing both sides of the ball, you have to be worried about the durability stuff. Like, we saw him get banged up a little bit, like nothing severe the last 2 years, but he has missed a little bit of time at spots because of just the toll that it takes on your body. I mean, playing over 100-plus snaps a game is just not something that anybody has ever done. So I think the two biggest drawbacks is, one at wide receiver, the nuance, learning the position, being able to be a technically refined football player. But on the other side, if you are intent on playing both sides of the ball, I do think having your body take that type of toll and damage consistently, it's a little bit troubling as far as just trying to project durability on the next level.
Ryan, should you tell our listeners to stay up late tonight? Do you feel like a trade back into the first round for a quarterback is in play for the Browns? Or after two, can we just kind of call it an evening?
Oh, man, it's so tough. I do think that if, let's say, Shedeur Sanders is falling a little bit, maybe he's not the guy at the back end of the first round, but like a Jackson Dart is there still and a team wants to do it. I mean, there's a couple teams that make some sense. Like, you mentioned the Browns, obviously. The Giants are another team that could be in that type of conversation. So I think there's a possibility that something happens. I'm not sure that it'll be Cleveland necessarily, but it wouldn't be shocking to me if it was Cleveland, the Giants, or another team that still has that need. You know, maybe it's a – I don't know if Las Vegas Raiders would make a ton of sense with the money that they're paying into Geno, but, like, I would not be totally shocked if someone traded back in, but I'm not sure if it's going to be Cleveland.
Ryan Roberts, A to Z Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down all the happenings with the draft as that gets underway later tonight. What will the Browns do with the number two pick? My partner here is a member. He's a supporter, meaning he supports Shedeur Sanders.
Didn't stumble over his words there, Ryan. It's a shah in front of it.
Yeah, it's a supporter.
Yeah.
And so we got a burger bet on tonight. I don't think he's going in the top eight. I feel confident in this. JP has clung to the side of this like it's a piece of luggage with Kate Winslet on it in the movie Titanic. I'll ask you, what are your expectations for Shedeur Sanders tonight?
I think he's going to fall out of the top 10. This was not something I believed a few weeks ago. I thought that there might be a trade into the top 10, potentially for him, or a New Orleans Saints trades up a couple spots to make sure they get him. But the more I'm hearing and the more just kind of information I'm gathering, I think he's going to fall somewhere at least into the teens, potentially. And from there, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21 want to trade up to make sure they get their guy. Does someone want to jump in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers to make sure that they get their guy? I am on the side, though, that I think Shedeur is going to fall out of the top 10, and I think at least into the teens somewhere.
What would your reaction be if the Browns ended up having Shedeur Sanders in addition to Travis Hunter? Would it be that they just stole the first round of the draft and getting a lot of value, or is it more of like a shrug emoji?
I would like it. I would like it personally. I think, obviously, with where Cleveland is from a quarterback perspective with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, like, you're not really excited about what the future long-term outlook is, right? And I think Shedeur automatically improves that outlook. And having potentially the best player in the draft, you know, whether you think he's number one or number two, Travis Hunter is one of the elite players in this class. So I think if you get your quarterback of the future and you get an elite football player in the first round, I think that's really all you can ask for, right? And funny enough is I think it was Eric Edholm at NFL.com that actually had that same exact situation happen in a mock draft. He had Cleveland, I think, trading up with Atlanta at like 15 or something like that to back into the first round to make sure that they got Shador.
Gates had it today too,
those guys have. Oh, did he? Okay. So, yeah, I mean, so it's been out there, obviously, and I think that obviously they have a great connection, right? And if you're getting an elite football player and you're getting your future quarterback in the first round, I think if Cleveland fan, you have to feel happy about those prospects.
Ryan, we are in Ohio State country here. I have a personal favorite Buckeye in this draft, but in terms of the Buckeye prospect, which ones do you kind of like the most going?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Into this draft.
Yeah, I mean, two of them, if I can plug it real quick. So I love Tyleek Williams, a defensive tackle. That's one of like my guys in this class. 329 pounds. I feel like he's the most underrated defensive tackle in this class. Like, best run defender, in my opinion. I mean, you just can't outroof the dude in the run game. He's got some pass rush upside, but like, that dude is coming in to do the dirty work, you know, to play one, play nose, to just not be moved at the point of attack. That's Tyleek's game, and I think he is such a high-floor player. And I still love Josh Simmons. I know some of you are kind of going the other way on Josh Simmons, but I think he's the best pure left tackle in this class, man. He's got length. He's got athleticism. Before he got hurt against Oregon, he was playing so well. And I know that he's got the patella injury, the long-term outlook. There's been some whispers of, like, character stuff. I don't really know too much about the character stuff, to be honest. He's not one guy that's been talking to me directly as far as, like, having character concerns. It's just been kind of out there in the universe. But he is, I think, the best blindside protector in this class, if healthy. And one of the few guys in this class that I'm willing to look at and be like, that guy is a left tackle. I don't have to think about moving him, potentially.
Emeka Abuka has really, like, climbed up the draft boards. It's been, like, about a week or so of him just climbing and climbing and climbing. Now, some people are saying 20th to the Broncos today. Does that feel like too much of a reach for Abuka?
No, I don't think so. I especially in this wide receiver class, like it's not a horrible class, but it's not what it's been the last couple of years. It's just like a solid wide receiver class. But Emeka is one of the high floor receivers in this class. You know, I mean, he's a 4-year player at Ohio State. If he didn't get hurt in 2023, he probably would have been in the 2024 NFL draft. But he's had, you know, he's multiple 1,000-yard seasons. He's a really good wide receiver with a high floor. He can play in the slot. I think he can play a little bit out wide at Z as well. I just think that he's going to be at least a high-end number two in an offense. And I think the Denver Broncos is interesting with, like, Cortland Sutton. I've heard Los Angeles Chargers as a potential spot at pick 22 to pair with Ladd McConkey and those guys. So I think right there in, like, that late teens to 25-ish range, somewhere in that ballpark, I expect Egbuka to come off the board, and I think that he's just one of the safer prospects in this class.
Ryan, I don't know why the draft has done Luther Burden dirty, the wide receiver out of Missouri. If the Browns did end up trading down out of the Travis Hunter pick and went elsewhere, which I would assume they would do if they traded out of that spot, so they didn't go wide receiver there, I would be incredibly comfortable with him as a pick at 33. That can walk me through how, I mean, I felt like there were points this year where we thought he was going to be a top 15, at least top 20 pick.
Yeah, every year there's a couple guys that I would say are like the most overthought prospects in this class, and for me this year, Luther Burden is one of those guys. I mean, I understand that some people have concerns as far as like him being like a slot-only guy or whatever, but like I think he could play some Z because I think he has more than enough explosiveness and route-running upside to be able to do it. I mean, the kid is built for the modern game, though. I mean, he's great after the catch. He's really deceptive. He's a pretty smart receiver as well. Runs really good routes for the most part. I think attention to detail is something that he needs to consistently get better at. But, like, he's got the route-running chops and the ability after the catch that is really dynamic. So I would be comfortable personally taking him in the first round. He is actually my wide receiver one in this draft. I love Luther Burden. I really do as far as, like, true wide receivers in this class. But I just think that some people have overthought him a little bit. And another guy, whispers of just, I don't want to say character concerns, I would say more of like maturity concerns, you know, as far as like something that he could potentially grow out of, but there are kind of those whispers out there. But if he was the pick in the early second round and pair him with whoever the Browns wanted to do in a trade back situation, I think that that's a steal in this class. Like in this class, he should be a first round pick. If he ends up being somewhere in the early second, whether it's with the Browns or the Tennessee Titans at 35 or whatever, I think that he would be a tremendous value at that spot without question.
Ryan, I'm out here eating wings at a bar, which a little occupational hazard because we got a video component to this bad boy, and I'm a large person as well, and I thought, all right, flats were the safe choice. Turns out they was all in my beard, so this now turns into a preference question. Do you prefer flats or drumsticks when it comes to bone-in wings?
Depends who I'm with, to be honest. This is not a cop-out answer, I promise. If I'm on a date, I'd rather do drums. If I'm just trying to enjoy great wings, and I'll do the flats, because obviously you need to get in there a little bit, right? Like, it's a little bit more labor-intensive.
Chicken wings on a date
really
is a wild move anyway, Ryan. Now, you can't do chicken wings on a date.
Well, funny enough, my wife said that she knew I was the one because the last date she'd been on there, some guy, I guess, they went to, like, TGI Fridays or something, and they got riblets, and just watched this guy, like, just suck juice off his fingers and stuff, right? So I agree with you. That is definitely not the classiest move of all time, but if I'm trying to keep it casual but also want to enjoy some good wings, you got to do drums if you're on a date, for sure.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm looking for love, all right? If I was a single man, thank God I'm not, for the women of Northeast Ohio that had enough the first 20 years of my life. But if I'm out here, I'm looking for acceptance. All right, maybe that's a moment you got to let your freak flag fly a little bit.
Ryan, you want to know how you, like, it was like a tip of the hand that I was not going to have a date too with the woman, like when she showed up and I was like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Oh, I thought it was if she didn't show up.
No. It's if I ordered the wings.
Good giveaway.
That's a giveaway. But if I ordered the wings, it was like she had to know it was never going to happen. We were done.
that's fair. I actually kind of wanted. I wonder if some teams for some of these prospects have asked if you're a drummer, if you're a wing guy, right? To kind of figure out what kind of makes them tick. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely several no-nos, and that's super funny. I'm literally like recounting in my mind my conversation with my wife on one of her first dates where she was talking about the Riblets guy, and that's all. I don't even know the guy's name. His name is the Riblets guy in this story.
That is not great branding. Oh, honey, you remember the Riblets guy.
I like Ryan being like quesadilla guy to her for the first like 3 months.
Yeah.
Whatever food you ordered,
you don't fart in front of each other until like you married? Like, is that kind of what we're going for here?
You got to elevate to the chicken wings, for sure.
Ryan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.